plan to spice up the NFL season was to add man-eating tigers to the game. We lost a lot of great players that day, and that was my bad. Now I'm bringing you the Caesars Sportsbook app. It's got live in-game betting, parlays, and Caesars rewards, people. It's even better than Tiger Ball.
Must be 18. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to the AFA podcast, the official podcast for animationforadults.com. And welcome to another one of our fabulous commentary episodes where we get to watch one of our favorite films, whether new or old. And we basically watch it alongside with you, and we have fun talking about, you know, little bits of trivia for the movies that we know and just enjoy and have a nice fun time together because it's actually our fifth anniversary for the podcast, if I recall correctly. Yeah, it's so let's just go ahead and make it a party. And we're very lucky today to have the full original crew here today. My name is Rachel Ward as the host, and we also have Chris.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Dan.
Hello.
And coming live from New York, Yvonne. Hey, Yvonne.
Hey.
Oh, so good. Awesome. So good to have you all here. We're really excited about this particular film because when it first came out in the winter of 2018, we had a chance to talk about it a little bit, but we never really had a chance to really kind of do a deep dive into the film exactly. And that film I am, of course, referring to is 2018 Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, a Sony animated feature that kind of took the animation world by storm, at least as far as the feature films category goes. And I recall we even have a couple podcast episodes back on the award season post this movie, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse cleaned house for most for the Oscars as well as the Annie Awards, if I remember correctly.
Pretty much, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just because it's got this really unique style, which I'm sure if you've already seen the film, then you don't need to go into too depth about that, at least not at the moment. We'll save that for when we get to the live talking about the movie. But yeah, it's a very special movie to me because I have been a big Spider-Man fan. I even had a chance to read the comic book series that kind of served as like the inspiration for this particular movie. And yeah, and we have some awesome people to join us for this little AFA podcast and a fifth year anniversary. So let's just go ahead and get started with the movie then. Anyone has anything else to add before we get started?
Nope.
Okay, let's get...
I want to watch the movie.
All right. Okay, let's go for it. Three, two, one, play.
Oop.
Oh, are you good, Chris?
Yeah, I thought I'd press play, but I hadn't. It's fine. Here we are.
It's all right.
I am at like 12 seconds now.
Okay.
If that helps.
I am.
Probably doesn't. Okay, so already. So when like I was in the cinema watching this. Like, this is when you already knew it was going to be an awesome film, right? Every time the studio logo is,
when they
is like a
it,
janky
right?
version. Yeah. I'm like, oh wow, this is exciting.
But I thought they had like the comic book dots.
Which not is just that, like the sort of cowboy girl thing and,
yeah.
And like in a second, they do something amazing, which was just like,
yeah. It's rebellious. It's very rebellious.
They're called Ben Day Dots, apparently.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Like, status quo, what's that?
This is so cool that they did that.
Approved by the comic code, right?
Yep.
And straight into the titles.
Yeah.
42.
Yep.
Number
go.
Of...
third.
Yeah. No, it's... you're going to say it, Chris.
No, it's just that I wondered if it had a Spider-Man reference as well, or if it's just that.
I think it's got to be like a sort of geek sort of. Okay, this movie moves so bloody fast. There's so many things happening at once already.
I love I love the fact that they're using stuff from the Spider-Man movies.
It's genius because it's meta, because it's like, it's saying to the audience, like, well, this is like the history that you remember, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is how we remember it as well. Like, they're not pretending that there's like some, they're not doing the work. Like, you know.
There's the dance. There's that dance from Spider-Man 3.
Yep.
Yeah, it sets the stage in a meta way.
It's so brilliant because like every single time, like when I think the Amazing Spider-Man came out, I remember just like sitting in the cinema thinking like, we don't need to see Uncle Ben die again. We don't need to see it. Mm-hmm. And I like that this movie just feels like opening a comic book. It's just like, well, you know who Spider-Man is. We're not gonna bore you with that.
Yeah, because most comic books, especially if you jump in like right in the middle of something happening, like they'll give you like a brief like layover, like, okay, this is what's happened like so far in the story. Like, you've obviously bought this comic because you know the character to a degree.
It's a great intro to Miles.
Oh my god.
This is his theme song, in my opinion.
There's so much going on already. Like, yeah. God, you just love him instantly.
Like, because you see him in focus, but his room's in the background and it's kind of blurry.
Yeah, the depth of field thing, they do that on purpose. They really play with the depth of field. It's almost like, yeah, it's almost like a statement of, you know, about reality or something.
Well, it's like,
it definitely, because this is an alternate reality movie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, like, it's sci-fi as well. But also, oh god, I love this as well. Like, we've been speaking about, you know, on the podcast for a while, I've been speaking about, I just want a movie that shows, like, real life.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is, like, it, right? This is, like, what it's like to be a teenager in the late 20-teens, and it's kind of what, you know, that part of the world looked like at that time. And it's got the soul of it.
It takes an animated alternative universe superhero movie to do it.
I know.
Right.
I thought about that too. Yeah, it makes me proud of animation and proud of New York City.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one thing, just to put it out there.
Miles down from the
from a 2020 perspective, it's kind of
but you know what? We can all wear the mask.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Bring that catchphrase back.
I know.
He's Spider-Man, folks. Come on. Market. Spider-Man wears a mask all the time.
But I mean, like, his dad is never like painted as cool, is he? He's like a dork.
What a relatable dork.
He's lovable. He's lovable.
This is like, again, like, it would have been so easy for them to just be like, it's not that, the conflict isn't that he doesn't care, it's that he cares way too much. He just loves him.
That's another thing. He's got parents. They're both alive. Mm-hmm. They're nice.
They're nice. They love him. They, you know, they kind of understand as best as parents can. But
they set down rules. Yeah, it's very realistic.
Yeah, look at like how uneven the netting is there on the bars between them. It's not like perfect.
It took me such a long time to get the art book for this.
I remember.
There was such a, like a need.
It's so good.
You want to end up like your uncle? Don't end up like his uncle.
Oh my gosh.
His uncle, who in an alternative universe is Donald Glover.
Oh my god, yeah.
Of course.
I just really like that they decided to go with it. They could have picked, because there were so many, like,
and the little thing there of him, like,
yeah,
shutting the door with his foot.
Yep. So, and then here like we go. Here's the scene that they played in the trailers all the time. I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad.
And like, the character animation is also like really, it's not, you know, they're not trying to compete with Disney. They're like going, well, let's just do our own thing. And it's very naturalistic, actually. It's very mm-hmm. well observed acting that knows the benefit of underplaying something as much as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say, well, I was mentioning before, because after having read the Spider-Verse comic series, there are so many versions of Spider-Man they could have used to make the protagonist, but right. they knew Miles would be, out of all of them, would be the most relatable.
He's basically what Peter Parker was meant, you know, in the 60s, is mm-hmm. what he was. He was, mm-hmm. yeah, the most relatable. I feel like there's this, are we going to swear on this one? Because I don't know how to describe this.
I think swearing's okay. Right. We'll put a little there's warning. This,
you just saw a glimpse of him. It's he's known as like that one fucking kid in Spider-Verse. And he's the guy who's sitting like one from the left and he smiles.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a meme in himself at the moment, isn't he? Like, he's always putting that like shit-eating grin.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
I might be watching the movie like a few seconds ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I don't know.
There's this one kid. You see him on the bus as well. He turns around. That's him there in between them. You see him on the bus and he like smiles and it's like, anyway.
I so, like this scene, by the way. This is so good.
I got a confession.
Yes.
I've only seen this movie once before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I don't know what scene this is.
This scene is a sign that he has got a good teacher.
Yes.
Oh, she's like, you're right.
Yeah, you, the only reason you got a complete failure on this, yeah, is because you knew exactly what's
yours. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's like you're much smarter than you make yourself out to be.
Or you're not fooling me by pretending to be stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Check it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I see your game. Mm-hmm. And just give us a try.
and here's Uncle Aaron. And just, I love these shots of New York too.
Yes. They're so, I feel like this is like, you know, there are a few movies, but like this one is probably the closest to that feeling of, look, just make it look like the bloody art of book.
Yeah.
Like, the art of book is what the movie looks like. There's no filter of like, you know, it going through, you know, marketing, whatever, and them saying, oh, can you make it a little bit more like this or that? Like, if no, like, it's for the movie. It's, this is what it's going to look like. And people embraced it as well, which is like a small miracle, really, that people are so receptive to it. Because it is boldly different.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact they're using a sort of evolved version for connected as well. So it's not that, you know, they're using it for other films, a similar style.
A similar approach. I mean, I think it's more of like a philosophy rather than like a style. It's about like, look, you know this isn't real. We know it isn't real. We're not even going to try and fool you and do the Pixar thing of like, wow, it almost looks like that's really, you know, like you can see the fibers on his shirt. Like, they know people aren't actually impressed by that anymore. Mm-hmm. They're impressed by artistic statement. And,
exactly.
And it's really exciting that like a major American, like Hollywood animated movie was commended for its like artistic expression and its, you know, the way it was, you know, directed and like handled visually.
Ooh, spider.
Well, they're just doing something in this feature film that short films have been doing all along, like starting with the Pierce sisters, right? Like one of my favorite short films where it was like 3D and then they painted the frames on top. I mean, they're obviously doing way more. It's like a lot much more complicated and layered with like the 3D and 2D elements. And but
the spider says 42 on it. That's obviously, that was what the 42 was a reference to.
Oh, it is, but I think it's also a reference again to like.
Oh, okay, so a double reference.
Isn't also like that? Isn't that like the number of like the number of the universe in what was it? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy 42.
Yeah, that's what we were saying about. That's what we were referencing before.
Right.
Life that is what we were saying, but we were talking in such shorthand that we were just 42. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what we mean.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all nerds here.
Well, it's funny because I hadn't seen a red Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for a long time, so it only just dawned on me. Like, oh shit. Like,
I love the little radioactive feet.
I know! And how it camouflages with the paint cans. Yeah.
It's so funny.
Well, it's the same kind of, like, you see that neon color that's on the spider's feet, like, that's the same kind of color as the venom shock he'll get later.
I like the paint on the camera.
It's such a good, oh yeah. It's such a good design though, because it's just like, there's no question that it's a radioactive spider. It's super clear.
Well, again, like, it's not like trying to, it's layering the Spider-Man, like, mm-hmm. mythology with something you don't know. It knows that you know the story, and it's kind of banking on you expecting it to go a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it layers the story the same way it's layering the technique.
Like, we've met the Uncle Ben character, like, his dad, and, like, we're thinking, like, oh, no. You know, like, the first time you're watching it, you're thinking, like, oh, what's going to happen then? Like, he's...
So apparently...
He's in for the same fate.
Apparently the roommate or whatever, he was supposed to be more of a character.
Yeah, right. I think they implied that, because I think, like the current Marvel Universe, the best friend... The best friend character.
That's a like, good bit.
And just slaps the spider. It's like, yeah.
It's so bold, isn't it? Seriously. Oh, there are like a few times, there are a few movies I've seen where like you get in the cinema and you feel this like sense of like this electricity. Mm-hmm. Because particularly it's particularly to do with like young people, like being in the cinema and watching something and being like, oh, like this is our movie.
Yeah.
And I felt it like watching, oh God, like Social Network and Scott Pilgrim, definitely. But also, I mean, like watching this in the cinema, it was just like, there were people excited before, you know, they sat down and like they didn't know what they're in for, but they just like sort of were ready for it. And then when it delivered,
go ahead.
It was like this mix between, you know, like a comic book movie and you know, like you're saying, Yvonne, like it's sort of embracing, you know, like things that kids who, you know, mainly consume mainstream media probably wouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
You know, and in that sense, like, it's not inventive, it's more like as an act of curation, like curating different, mm-hmm. different elements, it's commendable.
Totally.
I love that. Am I doing this in slow motion or does it just feel that way? Great use of a movie technique. And then, like a camera shot. I love it. Ah, man.
The writing is so smart in this. The writing is so good.
Yeah, and then like I said, I read the original comic that this was based on.
Mm-hmm.
This came out far superior than the comic because the comic, while interesting and was also the reason why we have Spider-Gwen in the first place, is that it was a big
that cluster. Is a perfect cut. It was sorry to interrupt.
It's okay. It's a clusterfuck of how many different versions of Spider-Man can we have, and it got really super insane, like a little overwhelming. Like
wow.
Too many. Yeah. So they did, considering that that's all they had to work with, mm-hmm. they did a great job of narrowing down the cast, picking the protagonist.
There he is. That's the kid.
Okay, I gotcha.
I think there I saw
he
him.
Is, I'm, there he is.
I'm pretty sure I saw him. I'm obviously a bit ahead of everyone else, which is weird because
Yeah, I'm a bit weirded out by what time everyone's at as well. It's fine.
Do we need to pause and get a...
Well, I genuinely got, like, all of the, like... Oh, hang on, it's gone. See, this movie moves too quickly.
It moves very fast.
Not that dumb, just happened.
Hey, James. That's where I am.
This movie's just like, especially this early part, is just like one gag after another. It's like, okay, like, play dumb. Not that dumb. And then we find, like, oh, we're stuck into an office. It's actually the guy's office.
Yeah, so
funny. There's Spidey bells.
Yep. Yep, great. I know where you are. I'm definitely behind.
Oh, my God. And this is referencing the very first comic.
Oh man, so awesome.
Like, you could definitely tell, like, every inch of this was someone who had loved this franchise completely. Like, everyone who was involved.
And it's also, like, utterly, like, it's an animated film as well. Like, you cannot do that in...
I know! It's like, yeah, cause that question always comes up. It's like, why is this animated? Oh, and you know, like, in like like in the first 5 minutes, you're like, well, this is why.
Yeah. Like, this is why.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I saw someone recently say that about, I Lost My Body. And I was just like, I've never read anything more stupid.
Okay. I mean, there are a few shows that I haven't yet watched because I'm afraid of having that feeling about them.
Right.
So I'm just saving them for later.
Fair enough.
And I can look at them with a clear mind. But yeah, this is not one of those. It's really beautiful.
Those text boxes, just as he's running forward and they're just zipping by him as he's running by, is great.
It's so risky because it could so easily be. Like, the first attempt at this, Chris, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, although I quite enjoyed it at the time, to be honest.
At the time, I was very, very into Hulk. Yeah. I watched it recently.
I haven't seen it since, to be honest.
Kind of crazy, but yeah. I feel like with a few adjustments, it could come out tomorrow and do really well.
Oh, gosh,
yeah, but like this could so easily like fall over into that. But it's every moment is perfectly pitched for the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like all the text boxes popping up around them just then, it was like, oh, this is what confusion feels like, and anxiety, and being overwhelmed.
Can I also say this movie's got quite a few jump scares as well?
Like, it's a proper PG.
Yeah, when he catches the spider and it just does that little, that like multi-dimensional like zipping and then coming up soon with another character that we're introduced to in just a moment.
How far ahead are you?
Met him.
I'm at 2011.
Oh God.
I'm
okay. Let me see. If, let's do a quick pause and let's.
No, don't pause it.
I'll skip ahead.
We can't pause it.
I'm at 2026.
Okay.
Okay.
But
this is not the character I was referring to.
Okay. Because we can't pause it now. We gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go.
We're in. Here he is. It's Spider-Man in a Spider-Man movie.
I know. Yeah. Great. Think right. God, who voices him again in this? Chris Pine. Oh my God.
Good. Yeah.
Perfect casting. He. I was excited when I saw this because it's Ultimate Goblin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was aware of some of the differences between the Ultimate Spider-Man universe and the regular one that most people know. So I knew that Goblin had something like that design was coming, but they did touch it up really nicely.
There is one thing though, whenever you see Spider-Man swinging around, it just really makes me want to play the PlayStation 4 game.
I know, doesn't it? The PlayStation 4 game is freaking phenomenal.
which I've been doing. I've gone back to the beginning with the new game plus thingy, which I've never done, which I've never done before on anything.
That's awesome.
But it's because it's like one of my pretty much my favorite game ever, or one of.
Wow. I have to try that.
Oh, I love that. He references that everybody gets one. This is a onesie.
Yeah, I love that. I love
wear
that.
A onesie.
That's why it's an animation for the Spidey sense.
Yeah, there it is.
It is really effective.
It is.
So I think as well, like, this is an interesting movie in terms of generational divide. In terms of generational divide, because I remember at the time there were a few critics who were kind of sniffy, and they were like, it's distracting. And I feel like it's not.
At no, all. It's not.
I didn't really see any of that. I just saw positive, really.
Yeah, I mean, I always sort of look for layers, like onion layers to peel I mean, I really do think that the layered, you know, aesthetic, the layered styles is just goes along with the darn movie and the story so well. You know what I mean? Like it really just does. To me, it's like
the character
this tight knit little package. You know?
It's really tight. It's really tight.
Yeah.
It's that thing of like, I guess because of, you know, like budget, it's an animated movie, so they're never too long. And
okay, I don't know how far behind I am, but I just, can anyone else appreciate the moment where we had Miles just getting on his phone camera and trying to record this?
That's where I am right now. Yeah.
Okay, you guys are about 4 or 5 seconds ahead.
Okay.
And I'm ahead of you.
Wow, how'd that happen?
That's really how we're going to measure ourselves in this particular commentary is, okay, who's how far behind who?
Only by a couple seconds.
There's the black mass that is Kingpin.
Yeah, that's an amazing hole. Design.
The black hole that he is.
It's not the only kind of hole he is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who's voicing Kingpin?
Liv Schreiber.
Is that how you say it?
Why do I know that name?
Liv Schreiber? Oh, he's been here for a while.
He's an actor. That's why. I can't think of anything he's been in.
Oh my god.
Off the top of my head.
It's one of those names where I've heard that name 1,000 times.
He was in Hamlet at Public Theater and Shakespeare. He's done tons of,
yeah, we haven't seen that.
Oh, he's Ray Donovan.
He's Ray Donovan. He's done tons of theater and tons of TV
I know
shows.
His face.
And movies.
He was in Wolverine.
Apparently.
Was he?
Yeah, he was in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, that's my... That's
he was in
the level of my references.
He was in The Omen.
Okay, I didn't know that.
The original?
Oh, Trippy Dimension Schmidt.
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm obviously ahead.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all good. No, I love the effects that they do for the dimensions, like all these like real random bubbles kind of look. And they also, in the scene that we saw just a second ago, where it was like showing all the different dimensions getting linked up, I'm like, those are actual references to how they chronicle some of the alternate dimensions in the Marvel Universe. Like, that's actually a thing.
It's, oh my god, it's so freaking good. See, this is, I said this when the movie was being, like, before it was out.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It just felt like a movie that was just, what if you trusted the artists?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And guess what? It pays off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
Always.
Right?
Every single time.
And it shouldn't be this way, but it is commendable to the producers that they just went, oh, okay, that's bold. Let's put that on the screen.
Yeah. Well, that's the goal, isn't it? That's the fight. Like getting animation directors.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit more of a, have giving them a little bit more of a say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the signs of really true good cinema, good movie making, good storytelling comes through. I think I can understand a certain level of helping things streamline, because sometimes when certain people have too much power, it can get a little too convoluted if you like completely like don't.
Terry Gilliam? No, no, actually, his movies are awesome.
I was actually thinking of George Lucas a little bit.
Oh.
At least when it came to the prequels, I know that was the biggest criticism of why those weren't
lived
up expectations, because he had too much freedom.
No one would say no. Say, yeah. how about you don't have racist caricatures of
you went straight to Watto. I was thinking like Dexter Jetster, but like you don't need to do that. Yeah.
But there needs to be a balance. There needs to be a balance. Like, the creative freedom needs to be there, but there also needs to be, like, a way to help keep... Because unbridled creative freedom can be very confusing, but it needs to be...
Well, it can be. That's fair enough. I think there's a suspicion on the part of... lots of, like, executive producers and people who are, like, thinking about how to sell a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That artists aren't thinking about the bigger picture, and story and all of this. Spider-Man just died. That's
a Spider-Man just died.
A Spider-Man.
No, a as far as we know, died, what, yep. Spider-Man. Yeah.
Was the Spider-Man. Yep.
In this universe.
This amazing sound effect and chase with the Prowler. That sound effect so they give good. Him is freaking amazing.
This chase is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just builds up this character as just as something to, like, as Miles is doing right now, run away from very fast.
But yeah, what I was going to say was, like, there's a suspicion, sometimes justified, that artists aren't thinking about, like, driving, I don't mean, like, just in animation, but I mean, like, mm-hmm. in movies in general, like,
yeah.
that people aren't thinking about driving the story. They're thinking, hey, what if this happened? That would be cool.
Yeah, more of, and then this happened, and then this happened, as opposed to...
Or just, like, this shape and this color is cool.
Yeah.
But, like, in the case of, like, this movie, like, it's like a specificity, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. it's about how this feels like a subway station.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my god, I love those lights.
Yep.
Those lights don't exist anymore, do they? The sort of like orangey, like, street lamps. They were all replaced
in certain places. I think they do.
Really? Right. They were all replaced everywhere I go recently, and I'm quite nostalgic.
I love it. He's just gone through this horrible experience. The first place he goes is straight home to mom and dad.
Mm. He's just a kid.
Yeah, exactly. And they are great parents. They're like, okay, first, why are you here and not at school? But obviously you're really distressed, so yeah, sure. Yeah, you get to see where the line goes for his hard line dad.
I didn't understand until this point in the movie that he went to a boarding school.
Mm.
Yeah, I did that too. I was just like, what? He lives there? I'm like, oh yeah, he was packing for school. Remember, he had that big suitcase.
Yeah, he lives there during the week and then comes mm-hmm. home on the weekend.
And that's like an interesting like choice. What is that about? Is that like about
I think
his
it's
parents
that,
like having shift work?
It's that, but also I think it's the idea that there, because he won this lottery to go to this very high tech school.
And oh,
it's the
okay.
idea that he's living there gives him a better, opportunity to really kind of dedicate to his studies and build on his gifts.
He is just potential, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
just.
And his parents are trying to encourage that in him, and he's like, I don't understand it. I'm just me. I want to be where I've always been. I don't understand why you're building me up to be something that he feels like he's not.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that little touch of animation as they're zooming out from the thing. You see, as they're watching the news report, his dad reaches up and touches his face. So even though as much as he goes on saying that he hates Spider-Man, when he finds out that he's dead, it affects him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, I actually teared up during this scene. Really not so much right here, but like give it a hot second because we see a certain someone
when all the
by
people...
this time had passed away.
Oh, it's deadly, yeah.
Yeah.
And it had not been long before had it when no. this came out.
Yeah.
No.
It was
his last official Stanley cameo. It always fits eventually. Yeah, no returns or refunds ever.
It always fits eventually.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about when people talk about this film is I was always concerned that people they always go, oh great, brilliant Lord and Miller film, and basically not right. giving the directors enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know how much. I know the script was written by one of them, but
yeah,
and I know they did have an influence on it, and it's their power basically that got it made. But
yes,
in this way. But I would think the directors need to be given more credit. Oh, there's a 4 and a 2. I've just seen. There's
absolutely.
So many references all over the place.
I mean, I think it's that classic thing of like, what is it, like the Cloudy with Chance of Meatballs 2 that starts with the opening? It's either the opening or the end credits. That's like, you know, Sony Pictures presents a movie mm-hmm. by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all movies are a movie by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think they have that unselfish quality already.
Sorry.
Right?
Just the building, he's on top of the building. And
Yeah. He changed his mind about which one he wants to jump off, but he goes for the lower one.
Yeah.
I love it. It's already building. Yeah. Oh, it trips on his shoelaces, by the way.
Yes.
Your dad keeps telling you, tie them shoelaces, kid. Yeah. What happens?
Yeah.
Try to jump off a building and you watch it.
And they're playing with this again. This is like meta as well, isn't it? Because like we've seen this in the Tobey Maguire movie.
Yeah, when he's trying to practice his powers and jump off buildings. Yeah, no, we've seen this.
Go web, go.
Shut God. I forgot he said that.
Ah, the 42 again.
Oh my Lord! It's everywhere.
So good, good.
But yeah, you're right, Chris. It like I think a few people I think consciously made this feel. I mean, it's shot like a live action film.
It is.
For one, I think Peter Ramsey, one of the directors. You know, he has his background in live action.
Yes,
it is like storyboarding, on all sorts of movies, before sort of coming into animation. And I think he, you know, was quite conscious of sort of, you know, like loving animation, sure, but also bringing something to it that isn't, you know, like, restricted by the same sort of like Disney rules, basically, of the proscenium and, you know, shooting everything sort of in this sort of silhouette friendly way.
I love how bad that Spider-Man, the cheap Spider-Man outfit looks on him.
Perfect.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter B. Parker, or are we talking about, you know, Miles's Spider-Man?
Oh, Miles. Miles yes. is, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so perfect. He's just like, well.
They do have that in, like, pretty much every Spider-Man origin as well, though, don't you? They start off with a
mm-hmm.
homemade costume.
Yeah, so, and then they're just badass at the end.
But it makes sense for this film that he bought one secondhand because of the fact that he's trying to fit into this role, which has now been left to him. And he doesn't feel like he fits it, but then he makes it his own as we go through the movie. And we see how that's the whole journey of the movie, is seeing that transform.
Yeah. And the fact that everyone had Spidey outfits on was awesome too. Cause he, you know, wasn't like,
he sold like red pizza.
Yeah. This also just reminds me of how much why I love Spider-Man. like you wouldn't see another superhero or most superheroes like eating pizza and watching TV and just
in costume.
Yeah, you just
that's the beauty of Spider-Man, I think, is that like it can always be reinvented to whatever that era's idea of relatable is, because that's the idea. That's the core idea is, what if he was you? What if he was the guy across the road? Like he's.
I wonder if they had makes me wonder if they had like part of a storyboard where he's like scrubbing the grease out of his costume at the sink.
Oh, and the Shaun of the Dead, Dust Till Shaun.
Yeah, see the, I saw the, that this time. Yeah,
I didn't. And this is like just, and they've got Hi Hello as well.
I hadn't. This, when I saw this film, I had not yet discovered John Mulaney. So it's like, now.
Oh my god, what a discovery to make.
Yeah. There's a horse in the hospital.
Yeah, he just jumps into this role like exactly perfect. So
Cage.
Yes. I forgot about the casting of
No, Nicolas Cage was absolutely perfect casting. I knew that from day one. I knew that as soon as they mentioned that, like, okay, we have Cage playing Spider-Man Noir. I'm like, okay, yes.
I drink a lot of egg creams and I
fight Nazis.
Fight Nazis a lot.
Sometimes I light a match just to let it go down to my fingertips so I can feel anything. Like, oh my god, that is so Nick Cage.
So funny. It's like, oh.
That's so typecasting right there. So believe it or not, again, some more comic book trivia for you. Grab the body!
He doesn't, his Spidey strength doesn't really quite.
That shot. There was like this really quick wide shot where they were so small in frame. And to show you where they were, they used like a little Spider-Man icon.
So how far are you guys in right now? I want to make sure I've got the, I'm at the right time stamp here.
His face just turned into like.
He's getting, Peter Parker's being dragged.
I can't tell you where I'm at. They just want past the soda sign.
Did Peter B. Parker's face just hit his own tombstone?
No, I'm obviously clearly quite a bit ahead, so this is a really great comic.
Guys, we're in our own little mini dimensions right now.
That's right.
Chris just met Spider-Ham. I think you're that far ahead, right?
No, not quite, no.
Oh my god. Well, it's just, when we get to the other spider people, I have words, because... I think it's kind of interesting which ones came first in terms of like how old some of the characters are.
Right.
God damn. This movie has some really great slapstick humor.
So this is, I think, the masterstroke of like getting Lord Miller to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's gonna be entertaining no matter which way you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be respectful in the way that, you know, your shareholders would like it to be.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, they won't care when they see how the audiences react.
And how much money is being sent at the theater to go see this in theaters, because people go see it and say, no, you can't wait for this to come out on DVD.
Yeah.
You
have to see it. Yes, it was a cinema movie. Yeah. I mean, I know it's just like not worth talking about, but it just makes me fascinated. Like, did they really do a bad job on Solo, or did Disney just not like how radical they were?
That's a good question, actually.
Hmm.
I think it was such a departure from what most people were expecting.
Right.
They've got a very, very particular. It's basically controlled by the producers. But mind you,
yeah.
The Last Jedi is kind of.
The greatest movie of the last 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, yeah, I know, but it's quite different. So it's, the point is, I don't know what I'm saying.
It's fine. Trust me, getting into Star Wars is like, I could save a whole podcast just for that because I have,
I think what I'm saying is what I'm getting at is like there's a difference between homage because you love something and homage because you think you know like there's disrespect, and actually like there is a fine line, but it's very clear from this movie that everyone loves comics and they love Spider-Man and the legacy. It's important, but at the same time, it's also like, I think for a lot of kids as well, this was their, like, one of their first, Spider-Man movies or, you know, stories, basically. This movie's probably responsible for getting kids into Spider-Man comics.
Probably. Or people who might have not really, kids who might have never been exposed to too much Spider-Man outside of maybe a few cartoon episodes and merchandise, and this is their first time actually seeing a movie.
Yeah.
Because you can't assume that they've seen the other Spider-Man movies. I know there's tons to choose from, but younger kids, probably their parents are like, oh, Spider-Man movie, this is the most recent one to come out. It's animated. I'm definitely getting that for my kid. And like, okay, if you're going to be introduced to Spider-Man, I'm okay with this being your first exposure.
I love the contrast between the two Spider-Man so much. They did such a good job.
Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be like a what you call it. Not to drag us back to Star Wars, but
fair.
But it's Obi-Wan. It's a classic master student dynamic, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
Which, he sort of describes it during the swing, right?
It's actually more like, I guess, it's more like Yoda and Luke than Obi-Wan and Luke.
Yeah, yeah, no. Obi-Wan was a bit more eager.
He's like eating like boiled piss and, you know, whatever else he can find.
Well, the thing is that Obi-Wan had more or less convinced himself that Luke was going to be the one to solve everything, and he had that expectation for him from the outset. Yoda wasn't as much on board because he saw how taking someone who was force sensitive and untrained, a little bit too headstrong, much like Luke's father had.
He's arrogant, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh gosh, like, Obi-Wan, I see why you're so excited, but at the same time, this could just turn out the same way all over again. Mm-hmm. So he's a little bit more lax in terms of warming up to actually teaching him, and much like our Peter B. Parker here is more or less like, you know what, I am so done with everything. I'm not all about teaching you how to be Spider-Man because I'm kind of done being Spider-Man myself.
Well, yeah, he's a little bit broken too. That's the difference, like a little bit damaged.
Well, yeah,
but that's, I mean, in terms of like movie, like characters, that's perfect. You want someone who's a bit damaged so they can go through something, and it's not interesting if he's like, you know, like on a personal level, the most boring superhero for me has always been Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't have been as much fun if it had been the Chris Pine.
Exactly.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it would have just been a bunch of like kitschy little quick jokes and everyone would have chuckled and that would have been it.
Well, it's much more tragic to see someone he could have been a great mentor taken away early, and so now.
And now we got the sweatpants. Yeah.
Spider-Man with sweatpants. Yes. I did.
And a little bit of a gut.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You saw a lot of people saying, finally, there's a Spider-Man I can relate to. I'm feeling represented.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to go grab a bagel. That's another very important part of this plan. I need to grab a bagel.
But the Spider-Man costume is just such a classic mm-hmm. design.
It is.
It just looks so good, even all these years later.
Yeah.
And the Miles one is a great
oh my goodness.
Update as well. And the Spider-Gwen as well. It's just... Oh.
Yeah, interesting fact, she actually didn't really get her own comic book series until after the actual Spider-Verse comic series ran. So after she was introduced in there and what became such a popular hit, that's resulted in her getting her own comic book series, which was perfect leverage for her to be one of the primary Spider-Man characters or Spider-Women, because there are so many different versions of Spider-Women. They could have gone with any one number of them, but they decided to go with Gwen because she had such a positive reception in the comic book series, because she was basically the reverse of, like, you know, instead of her, Gwen Stacy, dying and basically helping Spider-Man to motivate to be a superhero, it was the reverse. Peter Parker died and she was bit by the radioactive spider, so she became his counterpart, more or less, in another universe. So, but she kind of has his same sense of humor, because that's, like, most people say that whenever, like, they say, oh, it's Spider-Man and Mary Jane, like, they forget Gwen Stacy was actually his high school sweetheart, and who really seemed to get him and was actually in on his whole being Spider-Man thing, but that got her killed. So that's why there's this whole back and forth of him trying to keep Mary Jane from knowing, because if she knew, she'd something could happen to her.
Wow.
So it's interesting to see her have the spider powers.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I love that scene in the beginning. I mean, when he can't, the USB.
I can't figure out how to flip.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
It's so true to life.
It's so good.
Oh, and this, where I'm at right now is Miles is stuck on the ceiling and he's trying to figure out how to unstick.
He's saying something.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, try and do something to relax.
Yeah, it would have been funny if he's ended up with, like, a floppy disk, and because he's like, so yeah, we'd be like, what's this? It's a save icon.
Oh, but they start singing. And I love it. He doesn't sing the exact lyrics. He's kind of improvising. Like most people do when they're trying to sing a song, they're like, most likely they don't know all the exact lyrics, so they're going to improvise.
And you'll be soon be getting to one of the great character turns that
they kept it so well hidden.
So good.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, there was all this promo material, like, even, like, something I was about to say earlier was that, I mean, this movie had a lot of promotional, like, commercials and stuff. Mm. Like, the scene right here where Miles first turns invisible was used a lot. But, and so was the whole I Love You, Dad in the car. But this was never touched upon. Like, we barely saw anything with this particular character. So, when she made her appearance, everything about her was a surprise.
And what's even better is they kind of foreshadow that when they're like, oh yeah, she's the lead scientist. And it's like, oh, and then I have to worry about my preconceived notions or address my preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. And then they flip that on its head again.
Well, it's funny because, like, the hints are there. Like, when you see that video back in his school where it's a student doing, like, a video presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Like, her name is there. It's just kind of just out of focus.
It's so good.
It's slightly obscured.
Yeah, so it's like if you're like looking for it.
A layer of oxt. Mm-hmm. And, yep, all the staff are armed.
Oh, I just love it. He's taking the whole thing, the monitor and plus the computer.
Yeah, I really haven't watched this film enough times. I think this might be my third
time. I'm glad that I haven't.
I kind of did it.
I kind of did it intentionally because I was just so taken with it. I just didn't, you know, like I didn't want to.
Yeah.
There are certain movies, like, because, you know, like, you know, like I study films and I end up watching things like 6 times.
Yeah.
And in slow motion and like with my finger hovering over the pause button. And like this one was when I was watching and I was like, I don't want this one to turn. I want it to always be this special.
so good.
Oh,
it's hard to not just watch the scene and just be like, yeah.
I know.
Oh, there's Gwen.
There is an amazing sound effect. Like an on-screen sound effect coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay,
I
gotcha.
I can't remember if you can, like, see it when the film is playing at speed. But one of them, he chucks the bagel.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
Bagel, there it is. It's so good.
Sorry, it's proprietary.
Yep.
My nephew got bought a Spider-Man costume for his birthday.
Oh, perfect.
But it's like a casual costume. It's like a hoodie and it's like Spider-Man. You know, it's like Spider-Man costume, and the hood.
Yeah.
It's, well, cool. They should make it in adult sizes.
Hey, to be fair, I would love to dress up as Spider-Gwen for Halloween. Like, are you kidding me? I love her design. I mean, we'll get to that as soon as we get to her reveal. But this is also one of my favorite sequences, is where we actually get Miles' first time swinging.
Okay, and like a lot has been like said about this, but they're using animation to speak about the character in like a movement sense. Like Miles is animated at 12 frames a second, and Peter B. Parker's on ones. He's like more fluid because he's
more experienced.
Exactly. It's seriously like a genius idea.
Everything's thought through so much.
Oh God, yeah. That's,
but it's not distracting either. Yeah. It's not like, you know, drawing attention to itself. It's all completely in service of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Like a work of art.
Yep.
Proper work
like
of art.
Like it should. You have a mission, you have an ideal.
Oh no.
Everything else is to service that. Little sound effect flip.
From Dust Till Dawn. It is. And there's Clone College as well.
Oh, with all the different little movie tags.
Yeah.
Alternate universe movies.
There's a poster for Clone College, sequel to Clone High, which is.
Oh.
Yeah.
In New York, when you see back. like it's like a little like throwaway like Easter egg, like you see all the different alternate movie titles that they have.
Yeah,
in
From Dust Till Dawn.
Okay, that here's my favorite character. So she makes her appearance. I love this so goddamn much because... No, like, seriously, like, they could have picked any other Spider-Woman, but they picked her.
Mm.
She really does save the day.
Well, yeah, it's just that... Well, I also think she's got the more story significance because of the fact that she's... I think just her, like... history with Peter actually makes this more of an interesting choice. Even though she interacts with Miles a great deal more in this movie, it's she's still...
Well, because she's just not aware of her fate in the Peter universe.
Yeah, exactly.
She's so cool.
Oh my God.
I'm kind of weirdly reminded of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The whole idea of
changing history
to give someone
more better outcome.
Yeah, kind of in a sort of like as a gift of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool they did this because Jesus Christ, like in movies. Gwen Stacy has gotten a raw deal.
She did. I mean, I do appreciate Emma Stone's performance as her, but in terms of the scripting, those movies did not give her a whole lot to do.
Mm-mm.
The second movie with her where she died, like...
Yeah, I know.
Awful.
just the fact that that's where it ends. Like, oh, it just
ends. There's nothing. Yeah.
There's... Because it's supposed to have the upbeat trilogy closer, and it didn't happen because
nope,
it was crap.
she had a raw deal. I repeat that one of the reasons I liked those movies originally was the fact that they were going with Gwen Stacy over Mary Jane, which I thought that was going to be an interesting exploration. But of course, they never really did anything with that. unfortunately. But hey, we have her here, and she's awesome.
I like this. This is clever as well because, like, the Netflix show was popular. The Daredevil Netflix show.
Daredevil, yeah. And guess who's the primary antagonist for that is Kingpin.
But they were more invested in Kingpin as well, right?
So Kingpin was always this size, or did he, I got the impression that he grew into his black holeness after the tragedy, like, you know.
No, he was always a large man. He was always large. Okay. They've exaggerated it very heavily here for this movie for style's sake. Mm-hmm. But, the whole thing is that he's this big giant brute, but he's also very smart and very commanding in terms of his financial enterprise. So he's kind of got like an interesting combination of both strength and smarts.
He's so like such a huge black hole. I wondered if he maybe turned into that.
No.
No, I see what you mean. It's like, he was absorbing.
The
darkness.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, yeah, like, I mean, I guess it makes sense in terms of this whole movie is that he's trying to absorb all those other universes to get what he actually is looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Filling the hole.
Mm-hmm. He's filling the black hole that was that lost when he lost his family. Yeah, that is him.
Sounds so familiar. Anyway.
Oh, the spider cave.
Yeah. The buggy. Yep.
Just seen the buggy. Oh, there's the Spider-Man PS4 costume I've seen, I think.
they included it in this because this was coming around. That came out before this, if I recall. And can I also say that this version of Aunt May is the most badass I've ever seen?
She is. She's also like, look, I can't even remember her name. Who's the actress who plays her in the Marvel movies?
The new one or the old one?
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei. Like, she is great. Yeah. I love Marissa Tomei, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, This is not May, right? It's not.
It's almost like she's like the Alfred's, Batman's Alfred in this movie.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's like a naturalistic sort of, I don't know, realistic character of what a woman of that age is kind of like and how she holds herself and how she dresses herself and everything. Like, this is actually more believable than Marissa Tomei and, in the Marvel movies, who's like, who just seems determined to be like, what if I could just be like the youngest and hottest Aunt May ever, right?
Yeah.
And like, that's not Aunt May. That's not quite it.
Yeah, there's a reason why she was a certain age, I think. So they play around with that a little bit.
Yeah. Does anyone know anyone who's seen this movie and hasn't seen any other Spider-Man movies, like a young person?
Honestly, don't think so. I mean, I've introduced this film to some other people, family, friends, and such who may not have been as familiar with the Spider-Man movies that came before it.
Okay, I have one question. Why does she kick her own back door open?
Because she gets to sell how like into this she is. Like, I'm all set.
Okay, but it's like her back door. I don't think that's believable.
Also, Yvonne, it might be environmental storytelling, right? It's cold. She has an old house, old door. I have an old door that I have to really push.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. I'm with you. It just was stuck.
Yeah.
It was stuck.
You know, you got that one damn door.
Oh, I think, is that the Scarlet Spider outfit? I'm sorry. I'm getting distracted by all the different Spider-Man costumes in the back of the game right there. And some of them are jumping out to me. And Chris, I think you'll notice that you can access a good majority of them in the Spider-Man game on PlayStation 4.
Yep. Like, that'll be where I know him from because I don't have like a deep knowledge of the comics or anything because I basically know things from movies and cartoons because I've never really been.
Most of my Spider-Man knowledge comes from the PS1 game.
Oh, bum.
Are you okay, Chris?
I'm okay, I've just accidentally stopped it.
Uh-oh.
You'll catch up with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I can help you out. Okay.
No, I've got back in. It's fine.
I am just being introduced to the new spider people. I'm just being introduced.
Yeah, I'm still a bit ahead of you. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
So, believe it or not, Spider-Ham and Noir, Spider-Man Noir and Spider-Ham actually came before Miles Morales in terms of being introduced in the comics. Yep.
No kidding.
And I think the most recent of them is Penny Parker.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think she was 2015, I think. Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's...
Wasn't she invented by the bloke out of My Chemical Romance or something?
I know she was created by Gerard Way and Jake Wyatt.
Yes. That's the guy out of My Chemical Romance.
Okay.
Who was invented by him?
Who invented Penny Parker, the little anime chick? She was invented.
I gotta say, she might be my least favorite.
Understandably so, because she's basically just like kind of like an Ava reference with the Spider-Roman robot.
Yeah.
When they should have just put Japanese Spider-Man in, which they're going to.
Well, no, because the other person they could have put in, they reference at the very end of the movie is Spider-Man 2029, but they decided to leave that for, I think they probably did that to make a more well-rounded cast, I think, because visually speaking, Penny's very distinct compared to the rest of them.
No, she's cool as like a team member. She's just like, probably like the least well-developed character, that's all.
Well, yeah, because I don't think much has been done with her yet, so they really don't have much to go on in terms of characterization. All they do have is just what little she's done so far.
Mm.
Whereas Noir and Ham have a lot more history to them. And same with Gwen, because she's all got, like, even though she as a spider person is relatively new, her character has a lot more depth behind it because of what other appearances she has as just Gwen Stacy in other comic books.
I love Miles's jacket. Like, I know, the way he puts over his top hands, of the... he like puts his hands in his pockets to sort of just like, oh god, his posture is really bad. Like,
yeah, he's
trying to hide the whole time. No, exactly. But that's like a conscious like performance thing. He's not like, you know, he could have so easily have been like, you know, ultra cool.
When you saw it in cinema, did anyone see it in 3D?
I think I had my second time watching it, I think I had a chance to, because the first time... You
unfortunately saw it in 3D.
Well, no. Well, I wanted to see it in 3D the first time.
Right.
But the first time, I unfortunately had to see it, like, one of those, like, the nosebleed seats.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, especially in the climax, which we're going to get to, it was intense, to say the least.
Sounds like a lot.
Yes, very intense. Yeah, oh my god, Nick Cage's Noir is the best thing ever.
I just did think, when I was watching it, I was thinking, would this have been better to see in 3D, or would it actually not been better? I don't know.
I think it might have been like one dimension, like it would have been one visual element too far,
yeah,
possibly.
It kind of feels like it's in 3D anyway, just in the normal version, in a sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean my choice when like to see something in 3D or not is like, was this filmed in 3D? Was this made in 3D? And
right.
I think this was a post conversion still. It wasn't like intentional as they were making it.
Yeah, there you can always sort of tell.
Like even the Pixar movies like have like not an external, but like a separate like team like working on the conversion. So I'm like,
Yeah, most people have given up on it now. They don't get that many screens. when cinemas were a thing.
Back when we had cinemas.
Yeah. the good old days when we could go out and see a movie in the theater.
Now you can watch it in 3D with headphones. I mean, sorry, head goggles, VR goggles.
Has anyone done that, by the way? Has anyone watched a movie in VR? I've done it once, and do you know what? It's actually miraculous.
It can be. Well, that's the thing. Like, it can be really effective.
Yeah.
but it wasn't what you saw it as well. Is that what you're saying?
No, well, my mind, I was thinking about, it depends on the, like, headset. It depends on your computer or whether or not you have a standalone. That's what I was thinking about because I've been testing that out a lot lately. It's something.
You guys keep going. I'm going to go get a refill real quick as just so as the movie keep. I'm not going to
stop. There's that noise again.
Just go ahead and keep watching. Keep watching. I am just grabbing a refill here.
Isn't that noise used in like a trailer for something recently? Like the womb.
Pass.
Yeah.
Apparently in this parallel dimension, the delivery companies have slightly different names. It's Red X and USB.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, this scene's so tense.
I know, it's so good. We're all getting hypnotized.
Oh, it's so
No, what a reveal.
Yeah, no, this was far and away, like, even if you didn't know anything about this character, this was so good. Like, that's the thing I love about this movie. They present all these elements, like, you can know them and have, like, if you're a fan of the existing material, but you can go into this completely blind, only just what you know about the Spider-Man through marketing.
I think J.J. Abrams' Star Trek did something very similar, didn't it, as well, where it's like, look, you're kind of at an advantage if you know your Star Trek, but actually you're not.
Yeah.
You have lots of surprises.
And that's another alternate universe.
There you go.
Exactly. This is the change that just, like, blew me away.
Yeah, so now we're getting Prowler versus Miles Part 2.
And it's like a great action scene because there's this added, like,
element. This time it's personal.
Well, it's personal because he knows who he is, but also you notice he's getting a better handle on his abilities now. He can turn invisible a bit better. He's gotten a handle on his strength and his agility a bit better.
And that's making the Prowler, like, more, like, ruthless.
Exactly. It's great story pacing in terms of watching Miles' development, in terms of being starting out extremely inexperienced,
Red X,
slowly getting in. Oh, and the slow-mo car crash.
Awesome.
I love that he's still in his crappy costume at this point in the film.
I know.
Yep.
It's held up. It's held up really well.
I think it's a bit heavy.
Oh, I just realized a great detail I never noticed. That
May
still has her phone, has her sofa in the plastic wrapping.
Oh, right, yes.
You know, like old people did for
her house is pretty awesome.
It's
an old person house.
It's great.
And the running gag of Noir with the Rubik's Cube. I love how that pays off in the end.
Who's that Frankenstein man?
Oh, that is Tombstone. As far as I'm concerned, he's never always looked like that, but the whole thing with him is that he literally, like, you can punch him for days and he's not gonna feel anything.
Wow. he's in the PlayStation game, but he doesn't look like that.
No, yeah, like, I think probably the game did a better job, showing
him. Well, this is, oh god, that's so funny. That's the benefit, again, of, like, the animation thing is, like, someone who I will not name once mentioned that with animation you have the suspension of disbelief as a given. So you have far more what's the word, like, license to deal with like the elasticity of reality and to go from realistic to very cartoony, and the audience is just gonna like buy it. And that's what I love about these like villain designs is that they look like they're straight out of like the comics.
Yep.
Without that's... really being toned down into, yeah, but it's a movie, so it's gotta be kind of realist. Like, no, it's...
No, go full ham. Why not?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, full ham. Exactly.
Full, ham. Full yeah. Spider ham.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh no, oh god. Peter and Aaron are fighting and just hit Miles is going in and out of his invisibility. I love it.
So good.
And you can kind of slowly start seeing how Peter's turning around too. He's being a lot more supportive of Miles through this whole thing.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, especially then that they realize that they're literally fighting his uncle. He's just like, oh crap.
Yeah, that was a great line. Oh, that's a great origin story. Like, it's my uncle.
This is me. You know, that was, yeah, Spider-Man's like, this is going to be a hardcore origin story. That's a great line. Spider-Man Noir gets some of the best lines in this movie.
Really good.
Do you turn off your feelings so you don't question the moral ambiguity of your violent actions? Oh god, this scene hurts so much. They played this so perfectly when he takes the mask off and then he shows.
So good.
Oh, but
the
my
shot
god.
Of the feet. The shot of the feet.
I'm so crying. Good.
So good.
Oh yeah, I forgot one of the other changes. It's not NYPD, it's PDNY. Just
yes. Oh. Yes.
It's just to show you it's a different universe.
Exactly. Different. Like the cola, like little, the cola advertisements.
Yeah.
He puts just the mask back on. I love it. He puts the mask back on him.
Oh.
Damn you, Kingpin.
See, I feel like he should have grown a little bit. No.
The black hole continues to expand. No, absolutely.
Turning family member against family member.
Mm-hmm. That's the true evil right there. Much like Ben in an alleyway. This is the loss that all, you know, almost every single Spider-Man character, like, they reference it later on in the later.
Yeah, that's where I
am. Oh my god, you really are far ahead of us.
Oh.
It's very good. I don't know how it happened.
I don't understand it either. Yeah, it's very weird. Where are you, Chris?
They're all in his room at college. I mean, at college, at school. All the spider people.
Oh, you know that bit? Very far ahead. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there.
This is obvious. I think the problem is that they perhaps, about the stream, I guess, perhaps there was, they cut a little bit off the beginning or something. Perhaps you've got extra logos at the start or something.
Perhaps. But no, yeah, it's...
Perhaps it's a slightly different cut of the film. It moves ever so slightly faster.
That's a good question. But random piece of trivia to break through the emotional tension here that I'm currently in. do you know that there is a certain Spider-Man character that came about in the comics that was one of the prominent, I wouldn't say the most prominent characters in the Spider-Verse comic originally, but I'm really glad they didn't have him in here? Was literally Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man.
Oh.
Superior Spider-Man. Yeah.
I've heard anyone of that. Heard,
yeah. That exists.
That's a very weird storyline.
Yeah. I am so glad they decided not to do that here because that would have made things a lot more complicated. A lot more confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah, they could explain that so easily in one of those awesome montages.
Why is that? What was the story?
So the idea is that a certain plan of Dr. Octopus went awry and he kind of took over Spider-Man's body. And he kind of, crisis of conscience later, he actually decided to take up the mantle of Spider-Man from Peter.
Oh, and, I remember that storyline in the comics.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that
was that in the was that in the Amazing or Ultimate?
I think it's Amazing. It was the Amazing Spider-Man.
Right. Ultimate. Yeah, I do remember that storyline.
Yeah, that led into the Spider-Verse storyline, where we got introduced to a lot of these characters for the first time. Spider-Gwen, we got introduced to Penny there. Like, I think of the characters in this movie, Miles, Noir, and Ham already existed. but Gwen and Penny got their start in the comic, the Spider-Verse comic exclusively, and then after that was finished, they kind of branched off. Gwen, I think, definitely became the more popular character in comparison, but Penny has some stuff too.
I think, isn't Spider-Ham actually the oldest of them, the alternate ones?
Well, yeah, his comic started in the 1980s.
I thought it might have been 70s even. I knew it was.
Nice. Long,
yeah, 80s. Well, but still, that's still a lot earlier than the others.
Mm-hmm. And Noir, he was 2009. And Miles, yeah,
quite a lot of difference.
And Miles' first appearance was 2011, August 2011, which lines up August-wise for us, since we're doing recording this episode in August.
Well, it also makes sense because we're recording this one day after, apparently, Spider-Man Day.
I know! I can't believe we timed that just so!
Oh my god, I'm so... Oh god. Chris, are you serious?
No!
I didn't send any cards!
Your card.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm sorry that you didn't get any cards from me.
It's all good!
Oh god, I don't know, there's something I forgot.
So it just all works out.
So when everyone gathers around and sings Spider Bells, Spider Bells.
Bells. So I am at currently in the the dorm room where Peter's trying to
leave for faith.
Yep. That's where we're currently at. Where are you, Chris?
Duh, don't worry.
You're in an alternate dimension,
like,
so.
End credits. Yeah. Yeah, this is very Yoda.
Well, it's true, too. Now, the scene where I'm currently at right now is where the dad has arrived, and he's talking to Miles through the... most people who I've heard talking about this movie, kind of like the post reviews of it, they always refer back to this scene and how much they loved it as like one of the emotional linchpins of the movie. And I can see why.
Mm-hmm.
It's more the fact that it's not just the fact that this speech that his dad's giving him, it's the fact that Miles can't respond to it because he's tied up.
This movie's so good.
In my opinion, it was ahead of its time. It was very much ahead of its time, I think. I would love to see more movies like this.
I still don't think many people have caught up yet.
Well, fair.
Do you know, I think probably the closest I've seen anywhere is in one of the episodes of... Love, Death and Robots. This episode called The Witness that was really awesome.
Oh, Witness. Oh, boy. That's a
which
good
one. Which I actually found out was the one that won an Emmy, which mm-hmm. was deserved because it is my favourite of the Love, Death and Robots.
I did really enjoy it. Stylistically, that was the best one, for sure. Mm-hmm. There were a few other ones that I liked. I mean, story-wise, I liked a bit more. But stylistically, that one was fantastic.
See, now I'm thinking, how much fun is it going to be to play the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, sorry, yeah, Miles Morales game?
Yep, that was announced. I'm not sure if either, you know, if Dan, you and Yvonne knew about this, but after the success of the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game, they're going to be making a version of Spider-Man for the PlayStation 5 that they dropped in. One of the first games is going to be Insomniac Spider-Man, featuring Miles Morales as the playable character.
And yeah, they got it.
It's a long time coming.
It's going to be a long time till I be able to afford to PlayStation 5. So.
I mean, fair.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I guarantee you, what's going to happen when I get a hold of this game, I am going to get the game, put it on, mute the TV, get the soundtrack for this movie, and just play it as I swing around New York, baby. It's going to be so good.
Maybe the game, the writing was really good in the latest game, right? You said?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, the new game, the PlayStation 4 game's writing is amazing.
That's awesome. I got to check it out. The last, not to go off topic, but I played The Last of Us Part 2.
Oh my goodness. I've heard that's a ride and a half.
It is.
Oh my gosh. And the scene that I'm currently at right now is where we see Miles don his unique spider suit. And,
yeah, that's this is Ryan the scene, as well.
This is what they originally teased a whole year ahead when they first promoted this movie coming out, as we saw, this was the first bit that we saw of Miles. And it was so good to finally see this scene in its entirety. Because this is what I came to the movie to see.
I'm glad that I haven't seen this film too much, because
I love this part so much. Yeah. It gives me chills. It's very, it's so rebellious too. It's like almost walks the line of like
it kind of is. It kind of,
it's like almost commercial and then commercial like, but then rebellious. It's, yeah.
It's like montage. Really, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's like a perfect,
but in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, and then we have Miles Morales.
So many like young people just be like, I want to make movies because of this.
Yes. Yes. And like,
know, it's like a powerful, like it's a,
so good.
Right. It's a powerful scene.
It was. And that there's a reason why they had it be the first. Oh God. This media they put up.
And the slam, his own comic cover. I'm scared.
I eat that shit up.
Yeah.
Just seeing all the Spider-Men together too in this next scene is really great.
So good.
Oh my gosh, I'm trying not to get too sucked into this movie because we're going to just be quiet for the rest of the thing. It's like, yeah. The reason we're doing this is so we can have a fun discussion.
I don't.
We have been having a fun discussion.
I
don't
really
remember like much from this point on.
Oh, there they all are.
Well, no, I just like the part coming up where they all masquerade in the party because everyone's wearing there's a Spider-Man costume.
Yeah, there's an amazing reaction of Gwen in the background where she's basically cringing and she's doing brilliant face. Face palm is brilliant. Just watch out for her.
Well, because she's reacting to Peter being too distracted by MJ, and she's like, oh my god, there are so many things I want to say because I might have been crushing on you in an alternate universe.
amazing design on Mary Jane for this universe as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, I love that expression on Gwen. She's just like, oh god, here we go. Yeah, people don't give Mary Jane enough credit either.
Nope.
Oh, no.
I know Gwyneth, gosh, who played it? It wasn't the Falter, oh, excuse me. That was Pepper.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Kirsten Dunst could have done so much more if they'd given her more to do.
I mean, yeah, that's... I mean, I think that's, like, her career, isn't it, unfortunately?
I
like,
guess so.
Until, you know, she's sort of doing, like, I guess, Melancholia and, you know... Yeah, she wasn't given much to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary Jane in the movies was just that eye candy. She was just that.
I think she's good in two.
Yes,
I think
she's
very good in two. She plays like the sort of, you know, she plays it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got the best Mary Jane now. The Zendaya one is very cool.
Yeah, she's not been in the movies much, though.
Aside from Far From Home, they gave
she's
her
not had many, like, scenes in the way that Kirsten Dunst did.
No.
You know, like, where you get a real sense of who her character is.
Well, because in the first Marvel movie-based Spider-Man film, Homecoming, who she was a surprise.
Yeah, who she was a surprise, and she was always, like, seen in the context of
mm-hmm.
Vulture as well, like Michael Keaton, so.
There was a lot going on in that movie, but in a good way.
This is just wild, like.
This whole climax is lighting wild.
And, yeah. The fact that there's not really traditional, like, CG lighting. It's just, yeah, this is a yellow wall, so it's all yellow.
Mm-hmm. Very, very bright in contrast to our protagonists. Like, there's so many vibrant colors, like, you can't keep track of them all.
Yeah, I guess in terms of, like, the movies, like, you know, they do, like, the color scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it defines itself as another part of the movie, doesn't it? You're not confused. As to when this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It almost looks like they just click something off.
Yeah.
So cool.
Spider-Man.
Love Miles' introductions. Like, hey, yo, I'm here.
Do I want kids?
It's like, do I want kids?
Chris is like, yeah, I was laughing at that like 20 minutes, guys. 20 minutes ago.
Oh my god. No, I think that's my favorite line in the movie.
But also, it just has to. We've done a bit of it, but we have to shout out basically all the cast are awesome as well. Because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. that's just made me think how great Jake Johnson is in the role of Peter B. Barker.
Mm-hmm.
He's perfect for that. And we've already mentioned John Mulaney.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. They could not have picked a better person to be Spider-Ham. I think there's like to be fair, it's hard for me to keep track of my favorite lines, but I think my two favorite lines are, do I want kids, and Spider-Ham's line coming up soon.
You know what this is reminding me of? Is another purple and blue animated film that has wild action sequences. Promare?
Yeah. No, I would put this up with Promare. Like, Promare is the only other, like, movie in terms of visual, like, craziness.
Yeah.
That matches this.
That'd be why I wasn't bringing it to mind, because I haven't seen it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You can't remember something you, right, haven't seen.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the anvil. There's the anvil. Here we go. Here it is. Here's my favorite line. Is this some kind of silly cartoon? You got a problem with cartoons? Oh, John Mulaney, you are the greatest.
What was the sound effect for the raspberry? Like, whoop, W,
it's B, a, like, I have something like that. Yeah. B P P B T T T P B B, but what is something like that? Save Gwen from falling, Miles.
She's also got an awesome design of the Gwen.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's...
Another design that, like, I wonder how cool that would look in live action.
That is true. I love they did the little fist bump thing.
Yeah.
His face! That is... That's amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The little hand on the mouse.
I just got there.
They do all the little body language things and stuff. As we'd say, the acting in the animation, shout out to... Yes, I haven't forgotten his name.
You haven't?
No.
You'll get it, Chris. I know you'll get it.
But we, you just, Dan just said it. It's fine.
Ed Hooks, yeah.
Yeah,
Ed Hooks.
Character following an objective.
Yes. The one thing we didn't know about that they mentioned about Penny Parker is that the whole thing is that she has a link with the spider that's in the robot.
Right. You're like, why is she so emotional?
A bit sad.
Hey, if you make Spider Pig sad, like, how dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, this is good.
This film just kind of makes you think, why aren't all superhero movies animated?
Well, I mean, some people would argue, Chris, that they basically are.
Well, I don't really object. People say they're cartoons or whatever.
That's
not a problem for me.
Speaking of the recent, I watched Far From Home recently.
Yep.
And that was delightfully cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
Very much so. Oh, you know, I just noticed this. And I've watched this movie like 5 times. Every single time they hit the thing where they go back to their own dimensions, it has their color scheme.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the cartoony thing for Peter Porker. Noir's had the black and white. Penny's was like this very vibrant blue and red.
So Gwen's is going to be like pink, white, and black.
I think we'll. I'm just leading up to that right now. But that was something I've seen this movie 5 times, like over the course of since it came out in 2018. I just noticed it now. Mm. Like, are you kidding me? And oh, it's like pink and green, like light green. Interesting. Interesting choice.
Like I'm just obliterating the water tower.
Oh god, yeah. That's just Kingpin. There's a reason like he's the first boss in the Wait, hold the phone. I saw it just as, like there was a split second PlayStation controller.
Oh, yeah, shit. I saw that. I saw that the first time here as well.
Oh my god, are you kidding me, Sony?
They've got nice little product placement.
Oh yeah, they've got it. He had the Sony
headphones. Everyone has Sony headphones in this film, it seems.
Yeah. They.
I'm wearing some.
So am I, yeah.
That's how dedicated I am to product placement. I am listening to it I'm watching it on a Sony TV on my Sony PlayStation 4.
There you go.
This episode brought to you by.
And I'm doing the phone call on iPad. No, that wouldn't work. That's ruined it.
You just broke the immersion, Chris. I'm sorry.
I broke the chain. Combo breaker.
God, the effects for this whole, like, all the dimensions breaking down is just, like, watching, like, I've got to tell you, watching this up close and personal was very hard to do in the theater.
It's very well pitched. It's not, I think Promare in a few moments got pretty overwhelming to me.
It did.
And it got confusing and... a bit relentless, whereas this is just like pitched you know, it doesn't let you get bored of it.
No, no, yeah. You can definitely, like, I was able to still keep up with what was going on, whereas I'm sure and, if yeah, I had been seeing yeah. Premiere up close, I would have been lost. So bad.
But
yep. Yeah, I think people, if Daredevil hadn't been a thing before this, people wouldn't have known who the hell those people are.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. Kronk.
Kronk? From Emperor's New Groove?
It looked like that was what one of the sound effects was.
Yeah, probably
oh,
did.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. The little text box thing. But, no, yeah, actually, like, wasn't Kingpin, like, the very first boss fight in the Spider-Man game, Chris?
Yes. Yeah.
I think Kingpin must have been an early Batman. What the hell am I saying?
Okay.
Send me to jail.
No, you're fine.
Take your nerd card away.
Yeah.
And trade it for a Squirtle.
Isn't Kingpin an early Spider-Man?
He is.
Yeah, I think he first appeared in
Amazing Spider-Man 50.
Yeah. There you go.
He was created by Stan Lee and John Romita Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the earlier baddies in Spider-Man's roster. Though this is the first time he's ever been shown in this particular light. I think he's normally compared to people like Green Goblin and Doc Ock.
On paper, it's like the least interesting. Oh, he's just a big gangster.
Yeah, but
they made him more visually interesting in this, and also he's
and emotionally interesting too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, you get some of those other baddies. They're like working with him because he's got the money to pay them.
Yeah, but it's just in comparison to someone who's got a robotic octopus suit or dresses up as a goblin and flies around on a floating platform and shoots at Macy Gray.
Exactly.
And,
his Macy strength Gray. Is grief and loss and anger.
He turns people into skeletons.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The most 2002 scene it could have ever been.
The most. Oh god, ever heard of the shoulder touch? Yes, yeah. I love how this comes back! I love it! Yeah. And you see the big text box behind him in red saying, hey. Oh, so goddamn good.
Has Kingpin ever fought Incredible Hulk?
No, but he would most definitely lose.
Fight a Dracula? Did we just ask who we could fight now? Sorry.
No. It's just in terms of like who the strongest characters in the Marvel.
Well, I mean, they both are powered by grief and rage.
Yeah.
This is very true. That I think in the grand scheme of things, I think Hulk is still
and there. There have been plenty of universes where Spider-Man and Incredible Hulk.
Mm.
This is true. There's a bunch.
This is really bad. Don't get sucked in.
Hulk, strongest Avenger.
Yes.
Hulk like fire and Thor like water.
Oh my god, that was one of the better movie interpretations of the Hulk I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Was that Thor Ragnarok? Well, that's when Hulk actually Hulk himself had a personality. It wasn't just Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing, is it's a Jekyll.
The personality of an angry toddler.
Yeah.
It's pitched up.
He's doing the flying through New York where I am, and it's so amazing, and I just want to do it. I want to play this game.
Well, I know what you're doing after this is over.
Go to bed.
go to bed.
You're so far ahead of us.
You're going to go to bed, but then first thing, if you wake up tomorrow, you're putting the game in and you're going to be playing. I guarantee. I'll bet you some real money on that.
That sounds like a good choice.
Well, then I'm going to not do it.
Oh no, Chris, don't spite me.
It'll make me money.
I'm just a lowly hospital worker. I don't have much to do right now.
So right now, I'm at like Miles and his dad having to fight.
Same.
I think I'm a little behind. Somehow.
We're jealous because you've still got some movie left.
I know. You've got longer to go before the movie's over, whereas we only have a few more minutes. I'm like, God damn it, no.
Having the credits. Which are awesome, by the way.
I love this. He's offering Miles to actually put up his graffiti art. I love it. Look at just the emotions on his face are so good. C-Mobile as opposed to T-Mobile.
Yeah.
But Sony still exists in this universe.
Yes.
It's not Tony.
Chris, Sony exists in every universe. They have made that deal.
Yeah. It exists in the Marvel universe. Well, Spider-Man does. And in the Sony Spider-Man universe that's got Venom in
T-Mobile.
It.
T-Mobile.
I think that's the way that they're trying to do some of their clever.
Kingpin being strung up between the buildings there is an interesting throwback, isn't it, to the first Spider-Man trailer?
Well, yeah, because that's the whole thing is that he catches people in webs,
and just like flies.
Yes, just like flies, exactly.
Look out! Here comes the Spider-Man. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do this one last time.
Yes. Yeah, I actually kind of just want to play the PlayStation 4 game too, not going to lie. And I never even finished it the first time.
You never finished it.
I tried to. I got really, like, I think I got the state of the New York City I was in was just so WTF. I'm just like, I'm just fighting guys everywhere I go. I kind of want to break. But emotionally speaking, it made sense.
I am... Not only played the game, I then got all the DLC. I've never done that before.
I need to do that. Like, if there's a game I'm going to do it for, it's going to be that one. Especially since I've heard there's some good stuff with, like, Silver Sable and everything.
Oh, yeah, and Black Cat.
Yep.
Oh, the Stan Lee tribute at the end.
Yeah, I think the real part that got my tear jerking like was most effective was that the Stan Lee cameos in this movie.
Yeah,
it
was awesome. Oh, I didn't know who Penny Carter was. Kimiko Glenn, who was in Close Enough, which I just watched recently.
I like the little, like, you know, sequel hook. The first sequel, the first of two sequel hooks, where you have Gwen reaching out to Miles, like, hey, you got a minute?
Sequel.
I know, fingers crossed, but we'll see which. I'd rather them develop with more with Gwen and Miles than the second. Thing that happens at the end of the credits.
I think that's just a joke, really.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's just a joke. Even though that is a Spider-Man that exists. That one that we see there is the 2099 Spider-Man. So originally I thought he was going to be in this, but then they said, oh no, let's just have Penny Parker in here.
It was Hayley Steinfeld.
Mm.
Spider-Gwen.
Yes.
Yep.
I'd also forgotten that. So I got to the credits.
I watched True Grit again this week.
Really? That's good.
What a movie. And like, seriously, she's so good in it, and she's like 12 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She carries the whole thing.
Can we talk about this credit sequence for a little bit too? Because this is just so bonkers.
Yeah. It's freaking cool.
I mean, yeah, it's really cool visually. It's just for people.
It's got so many Spider-Men.
So many, like,
if you like
so
Spider-Man, many
different
then
perspectives
I would,
if, and angles, yeah. And
yeah, if someone said to me, I like Spider-Man, I'd say, hey, have you seen the end credits to Into the Spider-Verse? Because there's a lot of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, coming up
a whole
soon,
lot of Spider-Man.
Oh, they do the meme thing, don't they? They do the pointing. Yeah.
The pointing thing at the very end, but there's also at some point in the credits sequence where they're showing all the different Spider-Man, there's like a bunch of Spider-Man kind of like in a conga line kind of thing. And I have seen that
like
at
the
so many conventions.
I've
seen that at so many convention centers. Like, I can't even tell you. Like, a bunch of the Spider-Man like cosplayers, they all get together, they all get in a line, they all have a good time. And just like, oh, for goodness sake. But I just find this amazing. Like, through most of the credit sequence, it's just all this visual, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, because I feel like the word I'm trying to find, okay, here we go. It's just like rapid fire Spider-Man.
It's the visual inventor this starts at the the opening logo and doesn't end until the very end of the credits.
Oh, I got it. Fucking Amazon, like, Jesus Christ, guys.
What happened?
It just like immediately started trying to autoplay The Office.
Oh no. No.
No, I know I seem like the type, but I don't want to watch The Office.
I'm going to like skip ahead. I just got to the transition bit where it just gets to that last bit with the...
Oh, I'm like watching the credits.
Okay, so I'll go back then.
Respecting the people who made
it.
Fair. No, I'm cheating.
I mean, the music in this movie freaking like... rules, so
really good.
And yeah, this must have been like a big soundtrack movie for kids as well, right?
I will tell you from personal experience, this got me through one of my hardest work seasons by my previous job.
Right.
This came out around Christmas time, and that my last job, it was, that's where things go to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
As most Christmas mm-hmm. seasons do for a lot of people who work in certain specific jobs, but almost every single time I would get in my car to drive home, I would always have at least one or two or three, maybe four songs from this soundtrack playing in sequence. And sometimes I would just play it on loop.
Yeah, you can count this as a Christmas movie because of like one sequence if you want. So
yes.
You can...
Yes. Oh God, yeah, coming up near the end, here in the credits, they play it. They play Spidey Bells in its entirety.
Yeah.
That's another reason to stick through the credits, is not just to see all the awesome people who worked on this movie, because they're great, but also...
They did like an EP, a Christmassy one. There wasn't just that. There was, Miles Morales did a song. I can't remember what it was, though.
Oh, God, I need to find it. I don't think I ever heard that.
A Christmassy one.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember what it was. It was,
Yeah, I've listened to the soundtrack so many times. No,
it's great. And it, Sunflowers become like a staple at karaoke as well.
It has. And I've like, so many times, like I'll hear it come on the radio and I'm like, hey, it's this song. And people are like, at least my friends who up until recently had not seen Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse were like, oh yeah, like I've heard the song on the radio all the time. I'm like, no, you don't understand. It was Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse. That's where it first came from, man. Like, you can't tell me otherwise.
There are lots of animators. Jesus Christ.
I mean, can you, like, I don't dispute that at all. because of just the way this movie looks. And then there's effects animation, which has got a whole bunch
of people. They have like an interesting, I'm going to completely get this utterly wrong, but they have an interesting sort of like internal outsourcing thing because they have Sony Animation and Sony Imageworks, which they can like outsource stuff to. So it's not like a traditional sort of animation like team structure. I keep on like learning new things about this movie and like being impressed at like just how innovative the whole production was.
Like I said, it seems to be a movie that was in a one way or another ahead of its time, I think. The reason why it got such, part of the reason it had a certain level of detail that like people weren't expecting for people to put into a Spider-Man movie, but by God, I'm glad that they did. I think the animated feature films are going to benefit a great deal from what this movie did. Chose to do in terms of the fact that they were taking those risks and seeing if they would pay off.
I think at the very least Sony is gonna learn. I don't know. I don't quite know about every other studio.
True. Mm.
I'm just thankful that this movie wasn't cute. Mm-hmm. It could have so easily have been like cute. You know what I mean?
Like, no, it absolutely. It could have been just like an okay movie. It could have just been a nice, like, okay, passable movie. It did not need to be. It didn't necessarily have to be a great one, as it ended up being. Like, case
so it holds up? Is everyone happy?
Absolutely it holds up.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I've noticed so many other things, so many other gags and, like, visuals and Easter eggs that probably out of the most of this year, I've seen this like 5 or 6 times since it came out in 2018 because I love it so much. And I've shared it with so many people, but there was still stuff I hadn't picked up on. I hadn't noticed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, that's a good movie when you still have watched it that many times and you're still only just now picking up on stuff. Oh, good shit.
Really good.
Oh, here comes Spidey Bells.
Yeah, Spidey Bells. And this is...
That's Chris Pine, isn't it?
This is Chris Pine. Yeah.
That has to be.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord.
Because he can sing.
He's like triple threat. He's crazy.
Yes,
he's crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell. He's just one of those people sent to us that's from the bastard. Gods.
God. He's so funny in Into the Woods.
Oh my God, I freaking love him in that so much. I love that. Streep is awesome too.
I just love how he breaks down at the end of the song. I agreed to do this stupid song. I wonder how much of that was Chris Pine. Michael Engineering. Oh my Jeebus. Yep, meanwhile in Nueva York.
I'm living in the actual future.
Yes, you are.
You've gone to bed.
Yeah, no, you the rest of this is all the rest of this is all a dream, Chris. I'm pretty sure this was just a gag, even though it was very nice to see Spider-Man 2099, because he's got a cool design too.
Mind you, they are going to have a load in the new one, supposedly, because like the first teaser had like went through loads of different logos. And
this
I know
so
Jap-
well done.
The Japanese Spider-Man one was in there, I know that much.
That's great. Yeah, there's the pointing meme. Oh my God. I'm kind of tempted to look at like how the old Spider-Man cartoon was.
Exactly.
Well, it's on Disney Plus.
Isn't it? I thought I saw it on there.
Fucking Disney Plus in there.
So yeah, that's Spider-Verse, y'all.
So it is.
It was a time, and I'm glad it exists. I'm glad I can continue to watch it. I'm glad new people can get a chance to watch it, because if you are any kind of fan of Spider-Man, you absolutely should.
It was a fitting way to celebrate the podcast anniversary, I think, because it's definitely, you know, absolutely one of the best, if not the best, film to have come out during the time we've been doing it.
Yeah.
It's a movie we all like.
Mm-hmm. You get that impression.
Yeah, and I think also it's crazy to think that's 2 years old, because one, it feels like it hasn't aged today. Two, it continues to have an impact on culture, which is...
And three, 2020 has lasted at least 17 years so far.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. I literally don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. No, neither do I. I don't know what I said. No.
We're all going to realize that we're inside of Kingpin's suit.
Oh no, we got stuck in the black hole. Oh, god damn it.
We just work our way out.
Oh no. God, whoever decided that he should just be this just black mass of a person.
So cool.
Like, I just want to shake their hand, be like, okay.
You can't do that anymore.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, let's take his elbow bump. Isn't that a thing now?
Yeah.
I think it was Steve Ditko.
Nodding from a distance.
air hugging from a distance. I gotta say, out of all the things in terms of how to all, you know, like, interact with people from a distance, air hugging looks the most awkward. I just have to say that.
I think the one that I kind of liked was I saw like watched it, it was like 16 years ago. It was called like the Wuhan Shake, and it was just like you tap your feet.
You
tap the other guy's feet, and yeah, I don't know.
I'll go for the awkward pause from a distance.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good movie. Everyone should watch, I think, in my humble opinion. So, well, not humble yet not so humble opinion, if I'm saying that. In my biased opinion. But anyways, for those of you who've stuck with us and watched the movie along with us, we hope you had just as good time as I know we did rewatching this movie, you know,
whichever one of us you were watching it the same speed as
in our own dimensions of watching this movie. But yeah, if you please stay tuned for other episodes, other commentary episodes, and other episodes of the AFA podcast, which you can find on any one of your chosen podcast listening sources, mainly iTunes, as well as, I'll make sure I have all of them listed right here, podcast.com.
No, we're not on that one anymore.
Oh, we're not on that one anymore. You see, this is how far behind I am. This is how far behind I am in terms of what platform you're on. So, Chris,
iTunes and Googles and your usual places, except we're not on podcast.com anymore because we moved Yeah, and also we're not on Spotify because you have to add it on yourself. But we're on most places, Acast and
which you're probably already listening to right now, so good on you.
Of course you can listen to it on our website, of course, as well.
Yes, on the individual web pages for our different podcast episodes. Also, please stay tuned for further news regarding new releases, whether they be DVD releases or new releases of new shows on streaming, which Chris has been doing an amazing job keeping up, even with everything that's been going on in the wide world. He's been staying on top of what's been coming out recently. And so if you're curious about what's hitting your local streaming service or what's coming out on DVD that you're interested in getting your hands on, definitely check out his two particular web series. Make sure we have the exact titles for those, Chris, because for some reason they're escaping me right now.
They're out this week and now streaming. The very original titles for what they are.
Yes. But just make sure that I wasn't mispronouncing anything, because I have a tendency to do that. If you would like to continue to support AFA as a website, please check out our Patreon as well as our Ko-Fi page. And please consider becoming a patron. We have some very interesting new benefits of becoming a patron, which Chris and I have been working on over the course of the last couple months. So please check that out. And I also want to make sure we give a shout out to Animation Nights New York, which is being headed by our lovely Yvonne. I know things are probably a different format right now in regards to those you trying to adapt to the new circumstances, but at the very least, while things are kind of transitioning, please go and lend your support to Animation Nights New York, so that as things transition, you can be there to see what shorts are coming through Animation Nights New York and what's going to be their program for the future.
Yes, still alive, but working on a different format.
Yes. Just follow Annie on social medias, and then you can see what's coming up when it's ready to announce.
Yes,
in whatever format it may be.
Yes, and we'll be posting on Animation for Adults.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We will make sure to bring you that news as soon as it comes out. In terms of our own personal social medias, Chris, we'll start with you. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Mr. Chris Store on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. Dan, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Hamu.
Yvonne?
And I'm on Twitter at isnare_inc. And you can find Animation Nights New York at animationnights.com.
Very good. You may also find me on Twitter at FailToNinja and also on Instagram on FailToNinja. You'll mostly see lots of cat pictures of my little darling Steven, who is, Cat Stevens is his name. And he is part of the reason I've stayed sane through this whole quarantine. So I will be sure, if you're all curious to meet him, you'll just go to my Instagram page. You'll see quite a few videos of him.
He's a very handsome boy.
Yes, he is. He's very photogenic. He's very photogenic.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, everyone, please take care of yourselves. Stay safe. Wear a mask. And just
anyone can wear the mask.
Yes,
anyone can.
Anyone can wear the mask. That needs to be the new mantra of mask right now. It's more important now than ever. But yes, anyone can wear the mask. So please wear yours and keep all of your friends and loved ones safe, even complete and total strangers, for no other reason, just to be for an act of kindness, because that's what makes people true heroes. So
that's right.
That's the whole message this movie was trying to get across. And I don't think it's even more valid now more than ever with everything we've been going through.
Kind to people you might not ever meet.
Exactly.
How about that?
Yeah.
And pigs.
And pigs. And pigs and spiders that were turned into pigs. Chris, people don't know.
We almost had it, Chris, and then you had to bring sausages into it.
You're the one who brought up sausages. I said pigs.
Thank you for joining us for this anniversary recording.
Happy anniversary. We love you.
We love you all.
Here's to the next 5 years.
Yes. Absolutely. Cheers.
Yes.
I haven't got a drink. Cheers.
All right. Stay cool, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Oh, spotty bell, swinging through midtown. Oh, what fun to sling a web and take the bad guys down. Spotty bells, quipping all the time. Oh, what fun to swing around New York while fighting crime. Whipping through the streets of New York every night, wrapping bad guys up in my web so tight. Crawling up the walls, making villains fight.
What fun to make the holidays free from crime tonight. Oh, spider bells, goblin spells, vulture laid an egg. Spider buggy blew a tire and venom got away. Hey, spider bells.
This is going to be edited out, but before we do the final wrap up, I really got to use the bathroom, so I'm just going to hold on.
Leave it in.
No, we're keeping that in, and we're putting it over. We're going to put that at the front of the episode.
No!
I'm going to start recording now, then.
Don't do it.
Bundling home and car insurance with Geico is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? They may drop little hints like,
beautiful day out. Even more beautiful since we saved by bundling our home and car insurance with Geico.
Or,
yard work is hard. Much harder than bundling with Geico, which was easy.
Or it may be even subtler, like,
speaking of burgers, we bundled our home and car insurance with Geico and saved a bunch of money.
Bundling is easy with Geico. Just ask your neighbors.
And now it's Geico's Motorcycle Rules of the Road. Before you ride, make sure your mirrors are clean and adjusted properly. And if you're going on a group ride, make sure the lead biker knows where they're going.
Ed, quick question. Where are you taking us?
Oh, I have no idea. Well, am I the leader? Because I was following that dude with the red helmet. Where is he?
And the rule to saving on motorcycle insurance is, in 15 minutes, Geico could save you 15% or more.
The been thinking about McDonald's all day, can't get it off my mind. I can already taste it. Ooh, got my mind on my mouth and my mouth ready for some Mickey D's deal.
There's a deal for every moment at McDonald's.
Right now, get two of your favorites for just $3.50. Mix and match a classic McChicken, a hot and spicy McChicken, or a juicy McDouble. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal, single item at regular price.